from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
Welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs wonderfully. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:35, we'll check in with Adam Sparks. He is the beat writer for the Tennessean, for the Vanderbilt Commodores. But right now, a chance to visit with Alan Bell. Talk a little college football, NFL also. He's with Sportsline.com, part of CBS Sportsline. Alan, hope your weekend was wonderful. You ate a lot of great food. As always, welcome back.
Thank you, buddy. I did, man. I keep eating it. That's the problem. But, no, it was fantastic, man. Hope the same for you.
Hey, by the way, a couple of breaking stories in the last 35, 40 minutes. First of all, the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, which was scheduled for Thanksgiving night, which was then moved to Sunday, which was then moved to Tuesday, which is now moved to Wednesday night at 7 Central. The other story, the 49ers, their next two home games. Who knew that the 49ers play in Glendale, Arizona, but they're not allowed to play in their home site because it's a part of an area that has a three-week ban on contact sports. So San Francisco, their next two home games, Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah, that's first on the 49ers, that's a tough break, obviously, but at least they got it, kind of figured out very quickly, and it really shouldn't be too terribly much, of a difference for them. So glad that situation, was handled right. As for the Ravens and Steelers, I've got a lot of thoughts on it. We can talk at another time about it, but the Steelers are getting punished here. They now have three games in 11 days, because a Ravens strength coach admitted, that he didn't tell anyone that he had symptoms. He wasn't wearing a mask. I just wonder how many times is the NFL going to push this game back, for the Ravens, essentially. And if I were a Steelers fan, I would be furious right about now.
Well, look, we've already – I mean, how about the fact that they allowed that farce of a game between Denver yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, the Broncos should never have taken on a New Orleans Saints team in that situation. I mean, so already we've seen it from – the NFL does not want to admit they made mistakes the way they scheduled, did not provide for an extra couple of weeks where you can move around, even if that meant a team could have an extra bye or even three in a year like this. This is not a normal year. So put in a couple of extra weeks to allow yourself some flexibility. I mean, do you think as because of how starved we are as far as football this year and as sports in general, the way things got out of whack, do you think we would truly mind if the Super Bowl this year was played the third week of February instead of where they have it scheduled? I don't think so.
No, I agree with you on that, and it's surprising, and I know that there are a lot of logistical moving parts, but still, I mean, I'm with you. Anybody in any profession that has anything to do with the NFL will always move things around for the NFL. It's the golden goose, right? So I'm with you on that. It's just tough, and here's the hard part, is the differencing in rules, right? So if you're the Denver Broncos, if I play or coach or am a part of that team, that organization, and I'm sitting here looking at it like, wow, the Baltimore Ravens get, as special treatment as possible, that they get to move these games back, and they had to roll out, a practice squad guy who was a wide receiver. He wasn't even a quarterback. Like, it's just insanity, man. Like, it's craziness to see this game keep moving back. And, if I were a Steelers fan, look, I know that there's a pandemic going on, but there's a difference in it getting in your organization and you causing it to get in your organization. There's a big difference in those two.
All right, so we find out, and look, the league has been warning teams all throughout the year since week one because of programs not necessarily doing it the right way, speaking of the NFL. And so, boy, the NFL really came down hard. Now, to you and me, $500,000 is a lot of money, right? To an organization that receives almost $300 million a year from the NFL, part of the TV contracts, $500,000 is like a $200 fine or less for us. So and you think about the impact of what? So they weren't wearing masks, so they lose $500,000 and a seventh-round pick because they didn't wear masks during their postgame celebrations when they beat Tampa Bay. Where's the punishment there?
Yeah, agreed. I know. You know, I've always wondered that. You know, we go back to a couple years ago, you know, with the Seattle Seahawks when they were punished, you know, in the in training camp. You know, the New England Patriots, you know, they've been punished in terms of, you know, owners getting fines. Owners getting fines, like you said, doesn't do anything. It's nothing. Now, draft picks, yeah, now we're talking.
It's a seventh-round pick, however.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, you get hit with a first-round pick, yeah. I mean, that can be, you know, a punishment. But again, you know, it just goes back to, you know, it just seems like the rules are different for everybody. You know, I don't really understand, you know, what is going on, you know, in terms of it just being kind of selective. That's the biggest part for me, is trying to figure that part out.
The thing that stood out for me, and the Titans are part of this equation too, and we still have two more games as far as this week is concerned, week 12 of the NFL, the Monday night game tonight between Seattle and the Eagles, and then now Wednesday night with the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. But five winning teams, 40-plus points, including the Titans, beat down to the Colts yesterday.
Yeah, the Titans handled business. I mean, you know, let's just be completely honest. They looked fantastic. They ran the ball. I mean, just everything was going to script exactly how they wanted it. And that was kind of peak, you know, Titans offense. And that's really what you want to see. And think about this, too. You know, for this three-game stretch for the Titans, so, you know, starting, you know, last week with the Ravens, yesterday with the Colts, and then, you know, this coming Sunday against the Browns, if they can go 3-0 against those three teams, not only is it important because the Titans grabbed the lead in the AFC South yesterday, but those are head-to-heads against all the teams potentially that would be wild card opponents, you know, that you could face in case whatever happens, you know, towards the end of the season. And the Titans already have a head-to-head win over the Buffalo Bills as well. They're beating teams, and they're beating the right teams. That was just a tremendous win for them yesterday.
The big question, once again, and because they have not shown us they can do it, because we forget about it, 14 and 15, because that was a combined 5 and 27. But starting in 2016, been in this position before going into the month of December. Their next game will be played in the month of December. Been in this position, in control of the AFC South, and not able to keep that control. How does this team this year avoid that same letdown?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, it begins and ends with Derrick Henry. And you're going to have to run the guy, and he wants to run the ball. And, you know, I understand that, you know, his carries are up there already. You don't want to burn him, you know, before the playoffs. You do have to be smart. However, it begins and ends with him. We all know, you know, the stats and the numbers behind what Derrick Henry does in November and December. But you're just going to have to lean on him because he literally changes the way that the Titans offense plays. Changes the way that the defense plays, special teams, everything. Like, when he's on, everything is on. If he's not, you're going to have some problems. So, it's Derrick Henry. It's the king. He literally is what makes this team click.
Five games to go. Derrick Henry, you're speaking of which, he has 1,257 yards. So, basically, you know, here he was 178 yesterday. So, we're talking about he has to average 148.6 yards per contest to become the eighth member of the 2,000-yard club.
That's tremendous. I mean, obviously, that's a lot of yards, and that's a lot of work, you know, to get there. But to even be in a conversation, you know, to reach that number, it's incredible, you know, of how difficult it is, you know, to truly do that. And he's got a great shot. But again, you know, that's a lot, you know, the average. Would you say 148 per game?
148.6 yards per contest.
Yeah, that's a big ask. But just to be in that conversation, man, is tremendous.
If we're talking that, because now it seems like people are paying attention and actually giving him the opportunity to at least start garnering some attention for the MVP of the league this year.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's deserved, you know, because, you know, the MVP, either change it to, you know, the best player and most popular player in the league, or
most valuable quarterback. How about that? Most
exactly, 100%, right? And you almost kind of feel like quarterback should have its own award, you know, in terms of that. But, I mean, if you look at value to a team, you know, I'll give you two running backs. One is Derrick Henry, obviously. Two is Alvin Kamara. What he did with the New Orleans Saints this entire season, for about the first 7-8 games, he literally led that team in everything, right? So, I mean, yeah, it's tough because, again, we know a running back's not going to get it. It's going to go to a quarterback for sure. But, you know, what Derrick Henry's done, man, is just tremendous. Think about it. I'll give you a stat. Think about it. This is how good of a season he's having. Currently, as of this second, he has more rushing yards than 20 entire NFL teams do. Like, that's how good of a running back this guy is.
No, absolutely. By the way, you know, we've noticed this being a problem for college football. We go back to 4 weeks ago, 10 games either canceled or postponed. 3 weeks ago, 15. 2 weeks ago, 18. This past week, 14. Actually, now 15 since we lose the Western Kentucky-Charlotte game tomorrow. So, you know, with that said, now the NFL already seeing issues. We saw the problems with Denver. We're seeing issues with the Baltimore Ravens. At what point does the league, what can they do to slow the numbers down? Because you would think with the adults that the league, the NFL, has a better opportunity to keep the numbers down compared to, say, college football.
Yeah, you know, excuse me, that, you know, the first part is that you've got a better opportunity in college because these are professionals. These are guys that are paid. These are guys that are adults. You know, you could kind of, you know, they could kind of quarantine themselves, you know, a lot easier and a lot better, you know, than college kids. You know, especially on campuses with other kids, right? So it's easier in that aspect. Two, we're already seeing the NFL, you know, we're seeing it today. You know, what teams, I think the new COVID rules, teams can't go to their facilities on what, Monday and Tuesday, something like that, you know, just to calm, you know, the potential spread down, you know, from game days on Sundays. So we're seeing the NFL do, you know, pretty much everything that they can other than going into a bubble, which they're not going to do. That's about all you can ask. You know, and you can just ask, you know, teams and players and coaches to say, look, we really, really, really need everybody, you know, to kind of put your life on hold. And that's really what the ask is that you go to practice, you go home, and that is it. You're not around any other people than the normal, you know, your immediate family members and your team, and that is literally it. And it's a big ask. I mean, I don't care how much money you're making. You know, it's a big ask to do that, but, you know, that's pretty much where we're at with the NFL right now.
Pittsburgh's 10-0, Kansas City 10-1. Right now, if I gave you the opportunity to take either one of the, or take both of those teams or the other five teams as far as the playoffs to make it to the Super Bowl from the AFC, which way would you go?
Yep, I'm taking the Chiefs and/or Steelers because I think that the Chiefs, look, a lot of this is on the Chiefs, and don't get me wrong. I like what the Steelers have done. I think they're a fantastic football team, but I think the Chiefs, you know, just have a higher ceiling than everyone else. When their offense is on, like we saw yesterday, there's no one in the league that can stop it. Their defense is going to play opportunistic when they're up by 14, 17 points, and they're just better. They're just better than everyone else. So again, if you gave me that opportunity, that's nothing against anyone else. Yeah, I'm riding on the side where the Chiefs are.
In the NFCs, I give you Green Bay and the Saints or everybody else?
Now, that's more difficult because I don't really think I believe in really anybody in the NFC right now. Like, you know, we have some good teams. Don't get me wrong. The Saints are a good football team. The Packers are a good football team. But do I think that they're head and shoulders better than everyone else in the NFC? No. Do I think that they're better, you know, better than you know, the top of the AFC? No, I don't. So that is more difficult. I think I would go with the field on that one because I think what we're going to see in the NFC playoffs is what we saw last year in the AFC, you know, with the Titans going on a run that really, you know, if you could just get to the playoffs and be, you know, spiking at the right time, you could make some noise. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the field on that one.
Maybe I can say, can I wait and make that determination after watching the Packers against the Titans on December 27th? I'd like to see that because, look, you know, the Green Bay Packers are not losing to Philadelphia, Detroit, or Carolina in these next three games. That's who are the next three. So I think they'll be 11-3 when they take on the Titans the next to the last regular season game.
Yeah, you're probably right. And that's going to be a fantastic football game. And, you know, kind of the weird thing, it probably is going to have a bit of a feel same way that the Titans and Saints did last year, right? And, you know, for the Titans' sake, you want to go into that game not really having to win it, right? Like, you want to kind of have your playoff spot locked in. But it's going to be, you know, those are going to be two tremendous football teams right there.
On the college side, you know, we saw Alabama just, you know, certainly talking about a revenge game. They showed it and brought it against Auburn It doesn't help when you have Seth Williams wide open for a touchdown for Auburn and he drops the ball. You know, you could just tell it wasn't going to be the Tigers' day. But with this said, you know, Alabama's just doing everything right. Offensively, defensively, special teams. They have yet to miss a kick, by the way. Remember all the kicking problems with Alabama?
Wow.
Not missed a kick as far as field goals or extra points this year. To me, what makes it interesting, though, is the fact that now Ohio State, they better not lose another game. You know, they've got two more games. When I say lose, not just lose on the field, I'm talking about lose a game. They've now lost two, lose one more. You can't compete for the Big Ten title. The Big Ten now, with Northwestern getting upset by Michigan State on Saturday, you know, the door is certainly open for a couple of SEC teams to make it this year.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you're right. Ohio State, you know, lose the ability to play the game. If they do, man, that is a big opening for somebody to get in the college football playoff. And you're right. I mean, Alabama is, you know, it's crazy to think about where they started from, and we saw the defense, and there were, you know, a lot of questions in regards to how they were playing. But, you know, as me and you have talked, you know, each week, they've gotten better week after week after week. I mean, the offense has been there. Mac Jones has been tremendous. Devontae Smith, obviously, you know, has been his, you know.
You brought up Devontae Smith. You know, here's everybody talking about Kyle Trask, Mac Jones for the Heisman, even a distant conversation with Trevor Lawrence as well. So I bring that up because the fact that here's Devontae Smith in a season, you know, shortened right now as far as the number of games, as far as, you know, where we stand as far as number of games getting played, he's already got over 1,000 yards. So forget about conversation with the Fred Biletnikoff Award, which goes to the top wide receiver. 12 touchdowns, 1,074 yards. He's the all-time leader in touchdowns in SEC history. I'm shocked that his name is not being thrown out for the Heisman.
I know. Agreed. You know, and the hard part for him is that he's got two other teammates that are in the conversation, right? Mac Jones doing his thing, Najee Harris doing his thing.
Exactly.
Right? Like it's brutal that you get punished because you have other good players on your team. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama's the best team in the country. It's not even close. And don't get me wrong. I like what, you know, Clemson, when they have Trevor Lawrence and everything running, they're a fantastic football team. Notre Dame's a good football team. Florida's a good football team, you know, offensively at least. But Alabama is just the most well-rounded team. And for them to go out, you know, handle Auburn like that, and I know, yeah, Auburn's not that good, but we've all seen Iron Bowls. It really doesn't matter. They just dissected them and did it without Nick Saban. I mean, this team is tremendous. I would be surprised if they're not hoisting another title this year. They're just that good.
Other things that stood out for you over the weekend college football-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, what games that we have, you know, and what is getting played. You know, I'll say this, the most brutal part, you know, was seeing Indiana's quarterback, you know.
Yeah, Michael Penix went down, tore his ACL. He is now gone for the year.
That's brutal. I hate it for him. I hate it for that team because they were having such a tremendous season. And I would hate to see, you know, things go down, you know, rather quickly. I got to give credit to to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. You know, I know that, you know, that game wasn't exactly pretty in terms of the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State, but if you're an Ole Miss fan, I mean, what a hire, right? Like, to get that guy, you know, you've got energy that puts back into your, you know, your school, your team. They're going to recruit very well. That was just solid. It was a solid hire for them, you know, to go about it. But, yeah, I mean, again, I think that the biggest, you know, talking point is just games being canceled, and it just feels weird, you know, when you look at the schedule each Saturday, you don't really know who's playing, the times feel off. It's just the weirdest college football season I've really ever seen.
Well, it's like, for example, I made selections for the weekend games, and before they're in play, whether they're canceled or all of a sudden you've got different opponents, like Colorado not playing USC. I mean, you're all of a sudden getting matched up with Utah, Washington instead. And so, yeah, it's certainly difficult this year with all the cancellations. And, you know, hats off to these programs who still find ways week in and week out to keep their teams focused. And how about Jimbo Fisher? You know, I've been, you know, because I certainly followed Jimbo Fisher's career when he was at Florida State and now at Texas A&M. And finally, it looks like he's living up to the $7.5 million per year for 10 years. The fact that he still is able to get his team out there and put themselves in position now at number five, where they're going to be in that position since they don't have to play in the SEC championship game to take advantage of someone else's mistakes to be in the position to be one of the four playoff teams.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, one, credit to him and credit to that, you know, that entire team. And two, yeah, I mean, you know, what a kind of a great spot to be in, right? Because you're exactly right. You know, you don't have to go into, you know, the SEC championship game, although, you know, obviously they'd want to play in it, you know, but it's kind of better to not have to. And if anything happens to a team, like we talked about with Ohio State or whatever, if a team drops, I mean, they're in a perfect opportunity, you know, just win this thing out. You're right, man. I didn't think about that. That's almost the perfect location to be in right now.
You know who was also in that position back in 2017?
Who's that?
Tua Tagovailoa and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Auburn beat them, so it was Auburn playing for the SEC championship.
That's
Auburn,
right.
All they had to do is beat Georgia. They didn't do it. Georgia gets in. Alabama gets in. And then Alabama beats Georgia for the national title in overtime.
That's a great point. That's a good spot to be in, man.
All right, before we let you go, your thoughts about Monday night. You know, it screams in this game, Seattle obviously better. In fact, the question will be, will Carson Wentz finish the game for the Eagles? Because Jalen Hurts is just waiting, and he's been getting first-team reps this week as well. If Carson struggles early on, he will get yanked in this game. So this kind of screams, take the Eagles, take the Eagles, take the Eagles. You know, talking about consistency, I like what Seattle brings compared to what the Eagles have brought. So this is also a game, which means take the Eagles.
No, I mean, you're right. Like, that's the biggest question is, do we see Jalen Hurts tonight? Now, I'll say this. It's going to be some bad weather. Unders usually hit in Philadelphia. Here's a stat for you. Over the last 25 seasons, teams from the Pacific time zone playing on the road in the Eastern time zone on Monday Night Football are 13-0 against the spread. 13-0.
And yep. I like it, especially with the fact that the Seattle can, you know, Russell Wilson can do it with his legs or his arm. And in this, you know, the turf, I mean, they actually have the field covered right now with a tarp because of the bad weather. I'm still going with the Seahawks. I just can't buy into the Eagles. Sorry.
No, I'm with you. It's just impossible to. Now, you know, it kind of feels like last night, you know, with the Packers and Bears. You know, you could talk yourself into the Bears. And then the game starts, you go, why in the world did I do that?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm rolling Seahawks tonight.
Hey, listen, you have a great week. Do me a favor, remind the listeners again what they can expect with Sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. So what we want to do is sports wagers, we want to give you the edge, right? We want to show you exactly which games to play, when to play them, how to get in early on them. You know, I'll say, you know, bettors that got in early got the Seahawks -3. You know, we're sitting at Seahawks -6.5 right now. That could be a world of difference tonight. So we don't want you to bet every game. We should bet the right games. So go to sportsline.com, click around, check it out, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, we thank you, Alan. Have a great Monday night, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thank you so much. Take care.
Hey, thank you. Well, yeah, to what Alan was just talking about, Zach, Seattle was a 3-point favorite to open up. Now it's a 6.5-point favorite. 79% of the country liking the Seahawks, given the points tonight in Philadelphia.
So you don't like that then?
Yeah, normally the way this season has been, it would scream take the Eagles. I'm just not buying it. With the weather, I just think Seattle can beat you so many different ways. I like Seattle in this game.
If you had to guess, and don't look anywhere, just look straight ahead,
yep.
Hopefully not a computer, what would the time be for the game on Wednesday between the Steelers and the Ravens?
Oh, I saw it.
Ah, you saw it.
Well, yeah, when I saw the breaking news, it was listed as 7 Central.
No.
Has it changed now?
It's 3:40.
So now it's changed again. So great. So not only did we get the game from Thursday night for Thanksgiving to Sunday to Tuesday, now Wednesday. Originally it was going to be 7 Central Wednesday. So now it is, what, 3? What time? 3:30 Central?
3:40 on Wednesday.
Eastern? Is that 3:40 Eastern?
Doesn't say. It just says 3:40. So right. I'm assuming where are they playing, right? They're playing in Baltimore. So, yeah, that would be Eastern time, I'm assuming.
Ah, jeez.
What a terrible start time. I mean, if you're going to do the game, why do you have to do it so early? I'm telling you, it had some sort of, like, fantasy football implications where they had to do it earlier so they can get the waiver wires in as soon as possible.
Well, if that's the case, just play it at noon. Play it on noon Wednesday and then get everybody ready for the weekend.
this is the first – this will be the first year ever or first week ever where you had football start, a 1 week start on a Wednesday, and it's going to finish on a Wednesday.
I'm trying to figure, what do you mean, what started last Wednesday?
Oh, sorry. Started on Thursday and then ended there. Say, that's what I meant to say.
You lost me there. It's like, okay, did I miss something? Did I have too much turkey or something? But no.
Well, that's probably true, too.
Okay. Well, so there we are. By the way, a quick reminder, the Western Kentucky-Charlotte game, which was scheduled for tomorrow morning, has now been canceled. So no Charlotte-Western Kentucky tomorrow morning. Hey, by the way, speaking of these football games, so you're watching the game, you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Now, I like risk-free betting. You can bet high without the worry. It's a very smart bet. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as the same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with the promo code FRANKS so they know that I sent you. So that's FanDuel Sportsbook. Use the promo code FRANKS. And here's the thing, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Well, good evening. They're still trying to clean up this earlier wreck. Northbound Briley Parkway here up by Centennial Boulevard. Traffic's been slow over here in this part of town for about 45 minutes now. It's just busy out here on all the major outbound routes. 65's been cooperating for the most part north of the city as you head up into Madison on 65 all the way up to Vietnam Vets. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate Team, 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. Rain changes over to snow showers and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, slight chance of flurries up until midnight. Mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures drop to the mid-20s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. So 2:40 Central Time on Wednesday is now the kickoff game for Pittsburgh, or kickoff time for Pittsburgh, the Steelers hosting Baltimore. So in case you're just getting in the car, the game between the Steelers and the Ravens had been rescheduled to tomorrow night, has now been rescheduled to Wednesday afternoon, 2:40 Central Time for that kickoff.
And you also had a real quick. I'm going to go this in chronological order that just came out. So Adam Schefter tweeted that at next Monday's games, you would have Washington Steelers at 5 p.m., Cowboy and Ravens at 5 p.m., and then Bills and 49ers at their 8 p.m. slot. And then that game got changed literally within the time of him sending it. About 2 minutes later, it got changed. The Cowboys and Ravens now will be moved to Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Oh, jeez.
This is – I don't blame anybody. And it's because, look, we got off air Wednesday night, right? And then we hadn't been back since then. I don't blame anybody if you're confused, if you don't know who, when, or who, where they're playing. Because the NFL is a mosh posh of just plain confusion right now.
Well, things are getting out of hand. The COVID cases are certainly, like, for example, Denver playing a game and didn't have any of their four quarterbacks. So they played a wide receiver and converted him, and he completed all of one pass yesterday. That game never should have been played, so it's a joke. And I still put this right there at the feet of the folks there with the NFL headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very lucky, been very fortunate and lucky to this point, but now it looks like right now, if you had to say, are we going to have seven teams or eight teams because of COVID-19? Will the playoffs go on as scheduled or be changed and moved back? I'm going to lean towards there's going to be some changes as far as with the playoff schedule and the Super Bowl. I'm going to throw it out there right now.
Yeah, probably. There has to be, right? I think at that point, would anybody be mad if it wasn't what's the Super Bowl always? The first Sunday in February?
Yeah, exactly.
So would everybody be mad if it was the second Sunday or the third? I mean,
not this year. Think about what we've going through with college football, and now we got college basketball, and we have 340 teams playing college basketball. Well, actually, less with some leagues shutting down until the spring. So with that said, we're seeing, like right now, Vanderbilt men's basketball has shut down the operations because of COVID. So
yeah.
We don't know. I mean, you're going to be seeing that too. So think about how tough it is to keep up when college football games are played or NFL contests. Think about now, multiply that by hundreds, and think about how trying to keep up with college basketball this year.
Yeah, this is just a nightmare.
Stay tuned. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the Vanderbilt coaching search and the situation that transpired with the firing of Derek Mason yesterday as head coach of that football program. Adam Sparks, he is the Titans beat writer. He is the Commodores beat writer for the Tennessean. He's coming up. Just a reminder, this week or anytime during the month of December, if you're watching football or hanging out with your friends and family, if you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. It's really that simple. Designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Well, good evening. They're still trying to clean up this earlier, right? Northbound Briley Parkway here up by Centennial Boulevard. Traffic's been slow over here in this part of town for about 45 minutes now. It's just busy out here on all the major outbound routes. 65's been cooperating for the most part north of the city as you head up into Madison on 65 all the way up to Vietnam Vets. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate team, 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, get a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Platinum Filter for just $22.98. They're an iconic duo like salt and pepper, a hammer and a nail, or the holidays and awkward hugs. You can't get one without the other. That's Napa Full Synthetic and a Platinum Filter for just $22.98. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales price does not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/20.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the app store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up tonight, top of the hour, another edition of the Tyson Helton Show. Head coach of Western Kentucky, once again, a reminder, their football game tomorrow on the road against Charlotte has now been canceled, so it will not go on as slated after getting moved from Saturday to tomorrow morning, now canceled. Right now, chance to talk a little Vanderbilt Commodores. Adam Sparks with the Tennessean joins us now. Adam, you know, we had discussed this previously, and to me, everybody kept asking me, what do you think about, will Vanderbilt part ways with Derek Mason? Two things were factors for me. How the team played each week going down in the stretch run, still fighting for Coach Mason and that staff. And the other one, will Vanderbilt beat Tennessee on November 28th? Well, that didn't occur because the game got moved, and so Vanderbilt had to play on the road against Missouri. And the other part didn't happen either, as Vanderbilt was a no-show on Saturday in Columbia, Missouri.
Well, let's not bury the lead here, Johnny. You just said Charlotte is Charlotte, Western Kentucky are postponed. So why is Will Healy not answering my phone calls?
I wonder. I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the – well, and I tweeted it the other day, and Candace Lee pretty much confirmed it today in her press conference, that a lot of the timing of Derek's firing had to do with the schedule. You know, Vandy was going to play UT Saturday, and maybe he would have saved his job, maybe had a chance. I don't know, but once the UT game was moved off of its regular schedule, moved to what's going to be either December 12th or 19th, if you were going to fire Derek Mason, you were going to go ahead and do it now, and that's what they did. Because if you were going to wait to the UT game and try to give him another chance to beat the Vols, then you would be waiting till, let's say if it was the 12th, then you'd have to fire him on the 13th, potentially. If it was the 19th, you would fire him then, and signing day would already be over. And so he'd have a class signed and then fired, and they were not going to do that. They were not going to have players sign national letter of intent not knowing who their coach was going to be. So once they decided that they were going to fire him at the end of the season, they went ahead and did it now. And Candace Lee said today that she's going to try to get a coach hired by signing day, but that's not necessarily just going to be the goal, that she's not going to sacrifice. As she said, she's not going to sacrifice quality for speed. So we'll see if it happens before then. But, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the end of it, I think. Once things started going south, they played that poorly against Missouri.
Here's the thing, if it's different if you're one of the top five programs out there, and, you know, let's say down the road, Dabo Swinney leaves Clemson for Alabama, which now after the second national championship, I don't ever see that happening. But my point is, if your program's like that, you don't necessarily have to worry about, there will always be individuals wanting those jobs. If you're in this situation with Vanderbilt, you better have a good list, not only of folks that you are interested in, but also folks that are interested in you. Or otherwise, why are you making this decision?
Yeah, I think the second part of that is the biggest thing. Not the you should know kind of who you want to go get. A lot of people can put together lists. We've got a list right now on Tennessean.com. A lot of people have. But it's the who's interested in you.
Right.
You know, because, yeah, the Vandy job is not for everybody. So, you know, you've got to be able to sell it to people. If you're talking about young, up-and-coming coaches, sometimes those coaches will jump on board because this is an SEC job that they can actually get before they could get other jobs.
And you get paid quite well, by the way. It'll be a nice raise for most folks that are wanting their name in
the
hunt.
But some are scared away by a Vandy job because they're supposed to be up-and-coming coaches. They're supposed to be coaches on the rise. If you don't go and win enough at Vandy at a really tough job, then that rise is stopped. And, you know, look at the last two coaches. James Franklin did well with it and turned it into a Penn State job. Derek Mason hung on for quite a while, but, you know, didn't win enough. And now he's unemployed, handsomely paid to be unemployed, but still unemployed. Had he stayed at Stanford and then taken a different job, maybe a high mid-major or a low Power 5 job instead of Vandy, instead of an SEC job, then, you know, maybe his rise keeps on going. So I think that scares away some young coaches of whether or not Vandy is the right job for them to jump to.
So, look, there's other things that are factors here. And so whoever is wanting this job, don't just take the pay raise. You need to know that, A, you're going to be getting enough money from a recruiting standpoint to make up the difference, knowing that you're facing a tougher battle than all the remaining 13 teams inside the SEC with regards to recruiting. So you need that. You also need the money for your assistant coaches to be able to recruit solid assistant coaches and coordinators. So you've got that, and then the big elephant in the room, the facilities and the stadium, which work against you.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have to be a sales job for Candace Lee and for the Chancellor Dearmeyer and a lot of others in the administration to convince a coach that what they need, they can get. Now, something as much as, you know, recruiting budget and assistant coach budget and all that, that's worked in. Those papers are signed, and you can't really go back on that. The facilities is a little different because, you know, Vandy has promised facilities plans for quite a while. They do have a master plan, a facilities plan right now that, you know, we get little inklings of, but we don't see the full thing. when they roll that out to the new coach, that new coach has to believe that's actually going to occur. And if you look back at recent history, that usually hasn't occurred. Now, you know, Vandy's administration will point to the indoor facility and say, hey, James Franklin won here, and we gave an indoor facility. So you'll win here, and we'll give you something. You know, if they believe that, and if that comes to fruition, then great. But a lot of coaches are going to come in skeptical because Vandy does have the reputation of promising things but then not delivering. And so they'll have to get over that hurdle. And I would imagine, you know, some coaches at the top of their list will be skeptical enough that they probably won't get them.
Well, I think the agents that are out there, and, you know, probably just a handful of agents we're talking about representing the group of individuals that want this job, it's really simple. There will have to be penalties against Vanderbilt that will reward that head coach financially if the things that are being talked about and promised are not delivered upon.
Yeah, that's certainly an option. I mean, I believe that's something of what James Franklin had. The thing is, I think Vandy, unless they're very, very confident that they'll get these things done, I think if that's the case, they may shy away from some coaches that would demand that. Maybe that's not the best move, but if you're not really confident it's gonna happen, then that's probably what they're gonna do. I mean, it's a little bit of a game of chicken. You promise it, put your money on the table. Well, actually, we're not as certain as we said we were. I think you could certainly run into that with Vandy. So, but you know, who knows who wants the job? I mean, Clark Lee at Notre Dame, he's a NBA grad, Nashville native, has really strong ties here still, his family, so on. Really good defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He's been around for quite a while. He's 38 years old. He's a guy that could get a lot of Power 5 jobs. And if he wants to come back to Nashville and he played football at Vandy, that's, you know, if this is a job that he really wants, I think he'd be a pretty good hire.
Does that name do anything for you, though, by the way?
Say again?
Does that name do anything for you? Because now I think it's to the point, knowing that it's not just angry fans. We have now a lot of apathy out there for football fans of Vanderbilt. So to me, you need and I like the direction from an offensive-minded coach. You need offense. You need to have something exciting out there on the football field that will generate interest as far as the fans. Two, you need somebody with a personality that will be out in the community, that will be recruiting in the community, will be recruiting out, and I think that has been lacking. I love Derek Mason to death, and here is somebody very engaging. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about Derek Mason. But was he that personality? I don't think so.
The people that tell me that have covered Clark Lee, though, tell me that he's probably among the most charismatic on the list. And the fact that he does know Nashville really well. I'm not saying he's the guy, but I think that's a guy you absolutely have to talk to. That's a guy that can get other Power 5 jobs. If you want Vandy, you need to talk to him. Yeah, the offensive-minded thing, which is what Candace Lee said today in her press conference, it was, you know, she said, I want somebody offensive-minded, and then you thought, oh, well, any defensive coach now is out of the pool. Then she kind of, after that, she said, well, it doesn't have to be an offensive head coach, but if it's not, I want, you know, somebody on their staff, some kind of philosophy. In other words, tell me who your offensive coordinator and your philosophy is going to be. And I think she wants exciting offense. You know, I mean, look at the top of the conference, top of college football, Alabama. They used to be a rough and tumble, physical, running the ball, defensive type program. Now it's, you know, basically since Tua and after that, even well before that, that's a team that, you know, a lot of offense, a lot of skill players, a lot of excitement, team that'll put up 50 in any given game. That's kind of where college football is going, so that's where Vandy's looking. They want something with offense, and they do have some pieces there depending on what kind of coach they get. They've got a quarterback. They've got a couple of skilled guys. They've got a running back. So, you know, I think maybe Candace Lee is looking at that and saying this offense could be pretty good, pretty competitive, so why not go find a coach that can do that?
I hope they get a coach who also will delegate authority to offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, because whoever is the head coach needs to be the CEO of this football program, not be distracted by having to oversee one side of the ball or the other. And back to the offensive-minded thing, if you're any good at all on offense as a coordinator or as a head coach, guess what you know? You know what defenses work and which ones don't work against your offenses. So I've never really liked, and same thing applies if you're a defensive-minded coach.